Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Years ago, when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute for Speech Class 101, I memorized Psalm 40, which is one of my favorite psalms. I've never forgotten Psalm 40 because every time I read the words of the psalm, especially the first 10 verses, it reminds me of my testimony of what the Lord did in my life, describing as if it were in my own words. I know that through the years on this radio program, I've shared with you my testimony of how the Lord became not just my Savior when I was 4 years old, but also when I was 15, how the Lord brought me back to Himself and became the Lord of my life. Almost at the same time, the Lord gave me a desire to not only walk with Him and to serve Him, but also to tell others about Him all of my days. Psalm 40, however, is not just my testimony, it's all of our testimonies as believers in Christ. As I read through the first 10 verses, inserting descriptions of my own testimony, I want to encourage you to think about your testimony of what God has done for you. Verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. God heard my heart cry and rescued me from myself. Verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God picked me up from where I was when I felt lost and was wandering away, and set my feet on a rock upon Him, and He placed me on a sure path, a good path, on His path, and established my ways, His direction for my life. Verse 3 says, And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God changed me so much from the inside out. I was like a new person, and I just wanted to tell the world about it so that others, including my friends, would come to trust in the Lord too. Verse 4, Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. God so changed me and deepened my trust in Him, there was nothing that the world could offer or could compare. There was no turning aside, no going back. The Lord was my rock, and my trust was in Him. Verse 5, Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God did so many things in my life, especially in such a short period of time, it was almost too numerous to count. Looking back, I should have kept a journal or something, and to write down all the things that God did and how He showed Himself up again and again in my life. Verse 6 and 8 says, Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The deepest change that God wrought in me is that He gave me an overwhelming desire to submit my whole life to the Lord, to serve Him, and to do His will for my life, not mine. But the strange thing about that was the more I sought to surrender to the Lord and seek to do His will over mine, that my will, my desire, aligned and became His. Verse 9 and 10, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. These last two verses summarize my life's desire, even now. My favorite thing that I love to do is to teach God's word and to share it with others, whether it's men, women, boys and girls, adults, children, and youth alike, and declare to them the only way sinful man can be in a right relationship with holy God is through Jesus Christ alone, who is our righteousness. I want to be faithful to declare His salvation and His righteousness and to declare His loving kindness and His truth to all others and to 1,000 generations all of my days. I remember around the time of the 2020 election and the crazy COVID years that the Lord put a deep burden on my heart that what we need in our country more than anything is a revival. Just recently at our CF Fall event, our guest speaker, Dr. Brian Chappell, said this in his message. He said, Oftentimes in church history, when things get bad enough, a revival breaks out. Well, all I can say right now, looking at our country, we must be getting ready for a big revival. But it was also during this time that I began praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know what my part is in this coming revival, but whatever it is, help me to be faithful to proclaim your salvation and your righteousness and faithfulness to others. But Psalm 40 isn't just my testimony or your testimony. Before Psalm 40 was anyone's testimony, it was David's testimony, because he's the author of it. In my Bible, in Psalm 40 at the top, it has a little subscript that says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." We don't know for sure when Psalm 40 was written, but if you read the whole psalm, the remaining 7 verses, 11 through 17, it must have been during when David was going through a time of trouble. Perhaps it was when David was hiding and running from King Saul, who was jealous of David and sought to take David's life. Or it could have been later in David's kingdom years, when David had enemies from without and enemies from within, including from his own son Absalom, who was trying to usurp David and take him out. We just don't know exactly which time of trouble it was. It's like, take your pick. But what we do know is this: David is going through a time of trouble. In the midst of his trouble, he turns his heart to the Lord to remember 3 things. First, to remember what God has already done in his life. Second, to remember he needed to have a right heart response of resurrender to the Lord's will. And third, even in the midst of trouble or even done to him by others, David wanted to remember and remind himself again of who the Lord is, that he is his help and his deliverer. You know, there's such a stark difference between the first half of Psalm 40 and the second half of Psalm 40, verses 11 through 17, that some theologians, commentators, have said that this was 2 psalms put together in one. Well, all I can say about that is I am not in that divided psalm commentary camp. This is one whole psalm from beginning to end with 2 distinct prayers that come from the heart of David. The first half was all about thanksgiving, and the second half is about a lamenting, a petition prayer pouring out of David's heart to the Lord in a time of trouble. Let's read the rest of Psalm 40, verses 11 through 17. It says, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God." Psalm 40 is a great testimony of what the Lord did in David's life and how the Lord brought David out of a horrible pit and delivered him out of difficult situations again and again. But Psalm 40 isn't only David's testimony, it's also our testimony. Why? Because David's God is our God too. Are you facing a time of uncertainty ahead and wondering if and how the Lord could possibly help and deliver you? Maybe you're facing something physical, like an upcoming surgery, or you have an ongoing daily physical struggle. Perhaps you even have something family-related, or you have a situation that is so complex there seems to be no good answers and nowhere to turn. Or maybe you have something work-related or a friendship situation where you feel undermined or even betrayed by someone you once called your friend, and you wonder, what in the world happened, or how is this going to end? Whatever your time of trouble, whether it's physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual, Psalm 40 is a great place to land and to turn and anchor your soul in the midst of stormy seas. First, when you're in a time of trouble, remember what God has already done for you in your life. In other words, if God showed up for you back then, he will be with you this day now. Second, when you're in a time of trouble, you need to have a right heart response to God of resurrender to his will. Remember that the Lord is still on the throne, and God has not vacated for a moment his sovereign reign, his sovereign rule over your life. So trust him, even in the midst of the storm, and ask the Lord to help you to resurrender your fears to him and trust him, even now. And third, remember who the Lord is, that he is your God. He is your help and your deliverer, especially in times of trouble. I remember when I was going into surgery to have my ACL replaced in my knee, everything was getting ready for surgery was going fine. I was in the pre-op room at OSF, and I had my gown and my cap on, and my parents were there with me before they wheeled me down to surgery. The nurse brought me down a long hall and then parked my gurney bed in front of the surgery door, but it didn't open yet because I guess they weren't quite ready. Then for some reason, the nurse left me in the hallway after they wheeled another cart right in front of my eyes that contained all the surgical equipment, like in a big tool chest on wheels. So just a few feet staring in front of me in my hospital bed while I was sitting outside the surgery door, I saw all the shiny cutting instruments just hanging there, ready to go. It was at that moment my heart sank and I said to myself, oh no. Fear and anxiety kicked up and I found myself praying, Lord, if you get me through this, I want to know you more. And not just know things about you or know your word, I want to know you and be all that you want me to be and live my life all for you. Now, maybe that was just a pre-surgery prayer, like a knee-jerk reaction, no pun intended, but I can honestly say that I meant that prayer and that was and is the desire of my heart. Looking back, I believe that God used my knee surgery as a mini crisis moment to remember who my Lord is and what he has done in my life, but also to deepen my trust in him and have a right heart response of surrender to the Lord. One of the reasons why I love Psalm 40 so much is because it reminds me of how personal my God is, that he is my help and my deliverer, especially in times of trouble. You know, in one sense, we could end our radio program right here, but you know, I can't do that because if I did, I would be leaving something major out. And that is this, before Psalm 40 can be my testimony or your testimony, it was not only David's testimony, it was Christ's testimony. Prophecy in the book of Psalms can be tricky and difficult to discern because you think that the psalmist is speaking of himself in the first person, and he is, but also the psalm can have a larger, complete, and more fuller meaning that points beyond the psalmist directly to Christ. But the good news is this, we don't have to guess how Psalm 40 is Christ's testimony, because the Bible tells us so. The Bible itself is the best commentary comparing Scripture with Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, the New Testament, the author of the book of Hebrews says this. He says, wherefore, when he, the Son, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. What's all these words about sacrifice, offering, a body you prepared for me? Lo, I come. What's it all mean? Two words. Jesus came. God the eternal Son, willing, left heaven and came to earth, taking on human flesh and blood, all for you and all for me, so he could be the final sacrifice for sin, to take away our sin once and for all. For all those who look to Christ and believe, trust in him. Some theologians have wondered, well, when did Christ say these words? Was it before the incarnation, when God the eternal Son took on human flesh and blood and was born as a baby, when he left his home in heaven and came to earth becoming the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, God and man in one? Is this when God the eternal Son said to the Father, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, in the volume of the book, including this book and the book of Psalms, lo, I come? Or was it right before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus said these heart-wrenching words in agony, sweating drops of blood, because Jesus knew what was awaiting him the next day, the cross? Was it there in the garden that God, the eternal Son, said to the Father, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire? In the volume of the book is written of me, lo, I come? Which one was it? When did Christ say these words? My answer is both yes and yes. Jesus said these words to the Father, lo, I come, from eternity past, and also every day of his earthly life, leading him right to the cross, which is one of the greatest time of trouble our Lord faced in his earthly life. You see, Jesus didn't just love you enough to suffer, bleed, and die for you on the cross. He loved you so much that he came from heaven to earth and to live every day of his earthly life perfectly and righteously, delighting to do his Father's will, all for you. Jesus, God, the eternal Son, leaned forward every day from eternity past, saying to the Father, lo, I come. But here's the beauty of Psalm 40. Because Psalm 40 is Christ's testimony of what he did all for us, that he is the God who came, leaving heaven to come to earth and take care of our greatest trouble, the problem of sin and death, there is no time of trouble that the Lord cannot deliver his people from now. Because he is the God who came, he is also our help and our deliverer who still comes today. Psalm 40 is not only David's testimony, it is Christ's testimony. And if you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, Psalm 40 is your testimony and my testimony too. Are you in a time of trouble today? look to Christ. He is the same one who came from heaven to earth, who came to help and deliver his people, and he's the same one who hears your heart cries and comes near to you, his people, yet today.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.